Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awaken Your Soul's Journey, the podcast that explores the transformative power of grief. I'm your host, Angela Clement, and I'm here to guide you on a profound journey of healing and self-discovery. Each episode, you will be introduced to experts, authors, and individuals who have experienced grief firsthand to share their stories, insights, and wisdom. Together, we will explore many facets of grief and shed light where there is darkness. Throughout this podcast, we will explore different tools and techniques that can support you in your healing process, from mindfulness and meditation to creative expression and spiritual practices. We will provide you with a diverse range of resources to help you navigate your grief. Whether you have experienced a tremendous loss or simply want to gain a deeper understanding so you can support someone else, this podcast is for you. So if you're ready to embark on this awakening journey with us, make sure to subscribe. Together, let's explore, learn, find healing, and embrace the transformation that awaits us. Thanks for taking the time today to join the podcast again. I have a very special guest with me again here today. Her name is Carolina, and she is helping women conceive and heal their wombs with the power of Reiki. And Reiki is what helped her conceive her son and overcome infertility and complicated pregnancy and severe postpartum depression. And I know that, you know, there has to be, I know that there's a backstory to all of what you've got going there and what's been happening for you over the last few years. So I'm anxious for the audience to hear about that journey.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to share space with you and be on your podcast. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
So basically, how I became a fertility Reiki womb healer was I saw patterns in people I was helping, just not just in conceiving babies, but I used to be in a chiropractor's office. So I would see any woman, and I was seeing them in menopause, suburban wives who were feeling stuck, every type of women going through divorces, women who are trying to conceive, all of the things. And then I started to see patterns within myself that were being mirrored in my clients and doing a lot of womb work, as what I now call it. Mm. Basically, womb work is looking at your triggers and your wounds and the root causes behind the triggers. And I use Reiki to heal the womb. So Reiki is the life force energy that we all have inside of us that makes us alive. And we harness that energy to line the chakra system, which is your energy centers. And you have 7 main energy centers in your body. 6 of them sit on the spine, the 7th at the top of your head. And Reiki uses its life force energy to go in and balance those chakras and those regions of the body. Anything that's a lower vibration will come to the surface and will be pushed out. Now, that can leave a person feeling sleepy and they fall asleep. They can cry if it's like a release. It could be a cough, a yawn. They also could just be really relaxed and zenned out, or they might feel tingles or waves of warmth through their bodies. But particularly our womb, which is our sacral plexus chakra, holds a lot of our emotions. That's where our creativity comes from, our pleasure, our worthiness, our joy, our emotional safety, and our portal to our souls. So for us, connection to our bodies is super important. That starts with your womb, and connection to yourself and feeling safe in your body is a huge thing in connecting to healing the wounds that are blocking us from conceiving. And a lot of the wounds that I work with my clients are no different than if a person was healing, if they were doing shadow work or identity work, the father wound, the mother wound, the inner child wound, ancestral trauma. If there is losses, if there is unpleasant sexual experiences that need to be released from past lovers or other incidences. Also connection to our spirit baby. But to get there, we have to get out of fight or flight, and we have to get into feeling emotionally safe. And that has to start with our bodies. And then it trickles from there. So with the Reiki, it efficiently heals all of your bodies at once. So your mind, body, spirit, all at once. It's a great complement to any fertility plan. It's a great complement to any talk therapy you're doing, because it removes the trauma from the muscles. And that was the missing piece for me when I was struggling with infertility. My father had died. That had spurred the start of my spiritual awakening and spurred the interest in spirituality in the other side, because I wanted to continue to talk to him. And what happened next was I was grieving really physically hard and I wasn't progressing. I had fallen off my horse, put on medical leave. I had a really gnarly concussion. And in the same week, my grief therapist and my psychic that I went to said I needed Reiki. So I went and got Reiki the next week. And then the next month, I was testing positive with our now 7-year-old. And that was the first Reiki baby. So I continued to get Reiki. And little did I know that this was the beginning of the unraveling of my hidden traumas that were very much unknown to me. I didn't know about the mind-body connection, but Reiki really started to undo a lot of conditioning that I had. And I got Reiki through my pregnancy, through my birth, and my postpartum. And that's where everything kind of just erupted. That's a good word to describe it. Is like my childhood trauma. I had an abortion in my 20s. I had a sexual assault in my 20s. I had not told anyone about the sexual assault. And that was really hard to share. My husband knew about my abortion, but I felt really unworthy in my postpartum and with sleep deprivation. And even though I did have support, Reiki allowed me to feel functional and be able to be present. I was really good at taking care of baby, but I wasn't really good at opening the mail. I wasn't really good at leaving the house. I was trying to breastfeed and just be a good mom. Everything else just kind of went to the wayside. And it just seemed super hard to drive. Everything was just so hard other than breastfeeding and being with him. Everything else was kind of just too much for me to handle. But with Reiki and the talk therapy, it took me about 18 months to come out of that and fully be like, okay, I don't have this dark cloud. I just kind of woke up one day. I was like, life's okay. I'm still here. And if it weren't for Reiki and allowing me to move through things, and as things unfolded in my postpartum and as they come up, I wouldn't have been, I probably wouldn't be here. It was a very, very dark time in my life. And I didn't know, nobody in my life healed. I never saw an example of a healed person or a person that was not stuck in hurt or pain. So it was a very, I didn't know what I was doing at the time, but I just knew that I wanted to be different and I didn't want to feel what I was feeling. And I knew that I trusted my therapist and I knew I trusted I called her the Reiki mother. And eventually I got attuned to Reiki and it changed my life to be able to, in real time, energetically cleanse myself by cutting cords or move energy, learning that emotion is energy, that I am a powerful person, just using descriptive words to describe myself other than messy and broken and damaged or left over. It helped me discover everything. It gave me my self-worth. It allowed me to deepen my faith in God and in spirituality and Mother Earth and myself and love in my relationships around me. It gave me greater capacity to love, but because I healed those wounds. And that really is what Reiki womb healing is giving you back your love for yourself and for others and making you feel safe to be who you are and speak up for what you need, and exist and take up as much space as you want or need to without dimming your light without being scared. And those are, so some people are like, well, can you guarantee me I'm going to get pregnant? No, I can't. I wish, but I promise the work that we do together, you'll never regret the work we do together. The results of where you're going to be able to advocate for yourself, which is very much needed as a parent. Communication and connection to yourself, your relationship with yourself is the most important one you'll ever have. And there's a huge disconnection with a lot of my clients when they come to me. They don't have that connection with themselves yet, or it's starting to happen. So with Reiki, moving through all of the chakras and energy centers is really important, but I spend a lot of time fostering that connection to that chakra because it's home. It's home for a lot of things.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I totally agree with all of what you're saying, because I've had this experience myself with energy healing, and, you know, I did become a Reiki master as well. And so I understand the profundity of being able to understand our energy and our emotion and how that works with our body and all of that. So, you know, and it's a big part of how I was able to heal through my own grief and through all of the things that came up around that, which sometimes was surprising. You know, you just don't.
Grief is tricky.
Yeah. It's
grief is really bizarre and tricky. It's so different for so many people. Mm-hmm. It's like, but grief was essentially what was blocking my fertility. Yeah. I was grieving my dad so hard and I felt unsafe in the world. And if you feel unsafe, for sure, your sacral plexus chakra is going to be shut down. And I just was questioning what's true, what's not, even though I was a newlywed and my husband was fantastic, best husband, 10 out of 10. And I just had identified my dad because he was the only person to never physically hurt me. Mm-hmm. I identified him, that as safety. And when that didn't exist anymore and he wasn't a phone call away and I wasn't receiving cards in the mail anymore, what does life mean now? And I think that's why I wanted to become a medium. I was seeking out classes with that local medium because she was teaching about spirit guides and aliens and the other side and what does that mean for reincarnation. And I just became like, I started to learn how to use a pendulum and what does crystals mean and what is the quantum field? Like, what is that? What is more than this that we can see? And I was the only one around me that was bold enough to ask those questions. And we live in Nebraska. We live in a very conservative state. So, and I worked in a manufacturing plant. I worked in a pharmaceutical manufacturing plant. So people were very like science minded. So I would ask my friends at the lunch table, do you believe in aliens? What do you believe happens to you when you die? Like if they weren't Christian, like, no, you just die. I was like, but the essence of who you are, like your joy, your memory, you really think that just doesn't say that goes away? And I just couldn't wrap my head around, like, how does someone just like cease to exist? And so that's why I was like, can it just be different? Couldn't I still have a relationship, but in a different form? Couldn't our psychics real? And that's when like this lady, I did a couple sessions with her. And she knew things when my dad was in hospice and he was dying of colon cancer. Like he and I had conversations and things that occurred like that were only between me and him or at the hospital, like nobody else knew about, or things he said to me. I was like, there's just no way she could have known that without it being real. So, and it was very specific. So I can call that evidential mediumship. It wasn't, I think you were sad. It was very like real things that and details. And I was like, okay, I had too much evidence of life experiences to not like, I couldn't turn a blind eye. So that it was a path I took and continued to go down. And then I went and got, I'm an all in girl. So I went all in and I'm 4 lineages attuned, multiple Reiki master lineages, all the things, but I practice Kundalini Reiki. That's what feels home to me. Mm. Every Reiki attunement I've gotten or certification has been a gigantic investment in my own self-healing. I think probably the most powerful Reiki certification I ever got was Reiki for sacred childbirth. And that healed my own birth to my son. And because my birth was so traumatic and it went sideways in every way it could go sideways, my birth plan that was a nerd, walking nerd for birth and postpartum and breastfeeding. And it just did not go according to plan, an emergency C-section and all of the things and NICU and multiple day stay. It was awful. And then my C-section scar ruptured. There was a lot of things that happened. So it was very, very scary. And it did not leave my mind for a long time. So to get certified in holding space for birth, to help women prepare for birth, to birthing their babies. But then I got to rebirth him energetically with his permission, with his higher self, changed my life. So I want women to know that the more you heal up front, the easier the fertility, the pregnancy, the birth and postpartum will be. Because I lived it. I had a business coach tell me once, she goes, "You go first." And I really truly believe that people who are healers, people who are doulas or death doulas or birth doulas, because there's different ones, postpartum doulas, they're not doing this work because it's fun. They're doing it because something happened. People are in this work because something either they lived through or they watched or were a part of that deeply altered their life, their being, and their soul. And they're doing this because it is part of them. And that's why a lot of people in this field do what they do. And that's exactly what I've had a lot of physical harm come to my womb. I had a lot of energetic harm and I've overcome it. But also, like, my greatest dream was to be married and have a child and have a family. And I'm living that dream. And it is possible for you too, whoever is listening. And Reiki can help you do that. And it doesn't have to be. Also, healing, like I think, make it sound like we have to be on a therapist's couch. And I think there's a great place for therapists and I value them very much. But also, like, what happened with me was the talk therapy wasn't enough. I had to get the trauma out of my tissues. And the person I ended up seeing was actually a Reiki master trauma massage therapist. Like, she was doing trauma massage with Reiki. And that was a magic sauce. And I was ready to purge all of the heaviness. Like, I was ready. And I think have had the great mix of having coaching and that talk therapy and letting go and wanting to shift and wanting to be happier and tired, exhausted of being tired and sad and being the sad girl and grieving. That Reiki session was divine timing for me to let it go. And I think that readiness is also not often talked about. Like, you know, you might want to change things, but are you ready to change the story in your head? Are you ready to change the identity around an event or a relationship? Are you ready to really let go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we have to get to that place, which is a kind of a scary place. It's when you're in that, what some of us call the dark night of the soul, you know, where you can't be that person.
I live there often.
Right. Yeah. And it's just, you know, what do I do? Like, I no longer want to be this. And so what do I do? And that's often, you know, the stories that I listen to are often of people who have gotten to that place and they just can't, they just need somewhere to turn. And they end up turning to Reiki or some kind of energy healing or some spiritual place. And like you say, those people end up being of service to other people.
Yes.
Helping them through this sort of thing. And so
you lived it. It's valid. It's authentic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't, to help someone or to coach someone, you don't have to be 10 steps ahead. You just need to be one or two steps ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't need to have it all healed either. And you don't need to have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. I have all the responsible adult things. I have a trust. I have all the things, the house, the car, I have the will, medical directive, all of the things, all the responsible adult things. But I don't know what I'm doing in 5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I shift too much. Somebody asked me that recently. I was like, I don't know. But I can tell you what I'm doing for the next month. You don't have to all figure it out and you don't have to heal it all, mm-hmm. or all at once.
Yeah. And you won't. I mean, that's
exactly
that's life, right? We're continually growing and healing and changing and adapting. So yeah, I wanted to ask you, like, for the listeners out there, and especially for, well, I mean, I can relate to what you're talking about, even going through menopause and some of the pelvic floor issues that I'm having now, and how that brought up some of the stuff from my
pelvic floor issues. I know.
It's, you know, and I never realized how connected. Yeah, it's so connected. And so, you know, what are some of the common things that you're finding that you're working with women with, just letting people know, like, what you do and what's the common emotions that you might be dealing with that you might be able to release to help fertility or some of these other things?
Sure. The number one thing is feeling unsafe. And this is eliminating, I'm not talking about physical safety or if you're physically safe in your relationship or your home, that's not this. It's talking about emotionally feeling safe to feel your emotions, to voice what you need, to shine brightly, to feel worthy. A lot of women are living in fear unknowingly. We're conditioned to be quiet. We're conditioned to shut up and be unseen, unheard. Stuff it, or I'll give you something to be quiet about, or okay, or to keep order even in schools, you know. And so what that happens with adult women is if we don't feel safe, that impacts how we show up and it impacts how we function, it impacts how we choose partners, it impacts the decisions we make. So if we feel unsafe, I backtrack it. Where do we feel that? What is the number one person that comes up in the pattern? It's fathers. So the number one behind the fear is, and that can, we've touched upon a few things, is self connection to self, worth, decision-making, faith in ourself, and trust in ourself. So that goes back to the father wound. The father wound is, how did your dad show you affection? Was he present in your life? If he wasn't present in your life, was he present but not emotionally available? When he did give you love, was there conditions tied to it? How did you interpret his presence or lack of it in your life? If a father was a good provider but was not emotionally available, how did that show up in your life? Does that mean you're choosing a partner that mirrors that as well? Or did you choose different? And a lot of women, if they have this unhealed father wound, they may have ended up with a good partner now, but there might have been a couple past partners where it mirrored that, where the gentleman or the past partner was not emotionally available, or was the father abusive? Was there actual physical trauma there? Did they get themselves? That was mine. Like, so my dad was not present until age 15. Then I lived with him from 15 to 19. And then every partner after that was some type of physical abuse. My dad was emotionally and mental abuse, but they were not emotionally available. My dad was not emotionally available to me a lot of my life until much later. So for me, that was a confirmed pattern. So his lack of emotional unavailability in my life deeply affected my self-worth, how I viewed myself, how much I valued my own opinion, how much I trusted myself, my intuition, my instincts, even how I made decisions. So I thought, well, I'm just a mess. I'm worthless. I don't make good decisions. We'll just see what happens. Didn't put much faith into my capabilities, because he had not made much investment in me. So our father wound is the first one I will work with women, with, like, what's the first memory you have that's negative of your dad? What's your relationship like? But really focusing between 0 and 7 years old. And we invite spirit baby in, like the baby that they're trying to conceive. We invite them into our session. And those downloads I get from Spirit Baby is very strong. They're very usually very potent. And we allow that to help us guide. Sometimes I'll get like, okay, so like baby is bringing up age 4. What happened at 4? Do you remember anything, or do you know anything that happened? Or like, so that may be when their parents split, or when they moved or something happened, or, oh no, that's when, you know, sometimes dads pass away. So we kind of get to the root cause behind all the triggers. So like, if you have low self-esteem, low self-worth, or it's hard for you to speak up, or you are shy, let's get to the root cause. What is really fueling that? And when is the first time that that showed up in your life? What was the circumstances? And let's go back and heal that version of you, heal that event, so we can de-trigger you. Once we de-trigger you, we can remove those feelings from your body. And then we sit and we wait a little bit, allow that to integrate. All right, let's check back in. What are you feeling when we evaluate your father relationship? What emotions come up for you? Where are you feeling that in your body? Going really deep into this to clear it, almost like an inventory list of, like, you know, doing all the things again, asking the same questions, because sometimes healing can be absolute and sometimes it can be layered. So what comes up this time for you? Do these same things that we healed last time, where are they at now? What number are they? Are these still really large triggers for you? Or, and these other things that you had mentioned in the first session, where are you at with this now? Sometimes the other symptoms that stem from that first event, anxiety, panic attacks, breathlessness, feeling powerless, things like that, that come up that are triggers, sometimes they dissipate or they get eliminated by going to the first time it happened. I've had a lot of success in helping backtrack it. Like, what's the symptoms? What are your triggers? Okay. Can we identify, was it the father wound? And then after we're done with the father wound, we'll move on to the mother wound. And then once we heal those particular two wounds, that's essentially also inner child. It impacts the inner child wound because, of course, we're a child of our parents, and those the most important relationships we've had, and especially at a young age, there's still usually inner child stuff to do about feeling seen and things like that. But it's a lot less when we get to that third wound.
Wow. Yeah. So there's a little bit of work that needs to be done, but tell me a little bit about like a success story that you had with someone.
So we have 97 Reiki babies to date. So one of my favorite stories is I used to work for Carnival Cruise Lines. That was my first job. I'm 40. So this is way back in the day when I was 18. And I met this girl on the reservations floor, and we were friends, and we stayed friends on Facebook. When I started my online Reiki business in 2020, I remember I had the flu and I was so scared because I was going online and I wanted to do my first group healing program. This was a big deal because to hold space in a group instead of just doing one-on-one is a much bigger, it's a big step. So I offered it $99 for 8 weeks of coaching, and just so that, again, showing how much I believed in myself, I was like, I is going to, you know, cause that's crazy. Anyway, she said, yes, she ended up getting pregnant inside that container. I taught her how to do Reiki, and now she's pregnant with her third Reiki baby, and she got certified. And she went on to get further certified, and she does Reiki on herself, her children, and she has a boy, a girl, and she's pregnant with her second girl. And she had before this an ectopic pregnancy and 3 miscarriages. And they had been trying for 9 years prior to working with me. And they had, you know, they had done IUIs before and it was not successful. And then all 3 pregnancies, she got pregnant naturally. And she also had gotten her PCOS to be managed really well. So her cycles were regular. And her issue that she had to really work on was perfectionism, and the expectations of her parents. And her parents are very lovely people, not an abusive household, not abusive relationship, but there was a lot of pressure. Being Hispanic, there's a lot of things to sometimes that are like mindset things or cultural thing norms that we have to undo as women that can affect our worth. So we have to, there's a lot of, you know, especially as a Caribbean Hispanic, there's cultural differences between different Latin countries, but particularly with her, she had to like really do with like accepting herself as is, and that she was perfect the way she was, or whole is a better word, because perfect and perfectionism was something that she struggled with, and not being perfect enough or not being good enough, when everything she did was chef's kiss. Like, she was an overachiever, but it was just never enough in the eyes of her parents. But they still showed up, and they were still loving, and they loved her partner, and, you know, loved everything that she did, but there was not enough praise, or like, there was just like slight little criticisms, and that really stung deep for her. So the greatest thing was creating a safe place for her to exist within herself, and allowing her womb to be the place that she rested, and to accept her. And then once she sifted that she forgave her parents, and that was what allowed her to move forward. It wasn't any reconciliation. There was no like forgiveness conversation with them. It was all internal, and allowing her and her inner child to be fully accepted by herself, and know that everything that she was doing and everything that she stood for was good enough. It was more than good enough. And that was beautiful. So it was almost a coming home for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talk about being the change you want to see in the world, you know, starting right. Yourself. And really, lots of times when we change ourselves, the environment changes too. It's kind of fascinating. Right. Yeah.
She's a good one. She's a really special human. Mm-hmm. And the way that she loves is, I told her, I was like, you're a great life pleasure is to be loved by you. Mm-hmm. To be loved by you is a gift. Because the way that she loves someone is very, very powerful, very, very deep. And it's very just sweet. Like, you can feel it. Like, she would, at a drop of a hat, if I called her, she would do anything for me. And I just love that. And we don't talk often. We talk probably once every few months, but I do a check-in. How are the babies? Her love is immense. And I think that that's like a gift. But once she saw that, she became infinitely much happier. She's right. Definitely the mom that she wants to be. Like, she, and to see that and to know that is really beautiful to witness.
Yeah.
A life purpose doesn't have to be a occupation, or even like, for me, I'm living my life purpose, which is an occupation, but for her, it was the role of becoming a mom and having a family with her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. So beautiful. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, people are going to want to know how they can get in contact with you if they would like
sure.
to work with you.
Sure. You can go to the show notes. I am going to send you a link. You can join what I call the Reiki Baby Movement. It includes a free meditation on how to connect. It's called Connect with Your Spirit Baby Now. You can join our Facebook group that's free and connect with other like-minded women. And the third is you can get 3 days free inside my Make a Baby membership. And that is my favorite thing I've ever created. It allows women in the fertility space to have access to high quality Reiki for a very affordable price of $49 a month. But you get 3 days free inside the membership to see if you like it or not. When you join, you're going to actually learn Reiki level one. We do live attunements every month. We also have a private podcast for the membership, and it's like a Dear Abby. We just launched it yesterday. Super excited about it. I'm like over the moon about it. It's where all of our members get to ask any kind of questions that they want, from fertility to postpartum, because we serve women from preconception all the way through postpartum. And I answer it on the podcast, and we just release episodes of you asking the questions that you need. Like, I feel this weird pain in my back, and I don't know what chakra is that, and what should I do? And we have a vault of meditations you have access to for every phase. And we also have a Telegram, which is an app where you can voice note or chat with other members. And that you can connect with me on my website, carolinasotomayor.com, or any major platform on social media, the Carolina Sotomayor. And I would love to hear from you.
Wonderful. That's amazing. Yeah. Just kind of as a cap up, do you have anything you'd like to share? I mean, I know that this is a really broad topic and we could really go for a long time. I know that there's a lot of, young women out there that are suffering, you know, because they aren't able to have a baby or they've had miscarriages. And sometimes the medical system just doesn't have the answers. So what could you say yes. to those people?
If you felt something or saw something out of the corner of your eye, that was them. Don't let your mind talk you out of what you see or saw or felt. Your spirit babies are the ones that you haven't conceived yet. Your angel babies might be the ones that you've lost. The angel babies in my channeling, they show up much faster and quicker than like maybe adults that have passed. Usually adults that pass, sometimes they take a while to transition and show up in channeling. Angel babies are much easier to get answers from, and invite them into your space. Talk to them. Pray to them, invite them into your conversations, honor them, make them an altar or light a candle. They are around you, and allow yourself to sit, like take some deep breaths and invite them in. They are there and they want to be a part of your world, but you have to give them permission to fully come into you. Also the trying to conceive journey is really part of your spiritual awakening. A lot of deep meaning and lessons are there, not lessons to punish you or to make you harder or more resilient. That's not it. But there are lessons for you to see as part of your soul development, to become the parent that baby that is going to come in for you, that they need you to become. So they're all signs. It's just a matter of is it the perspective you're holding, and also how do we move through it? I think also is understanding healing is not a one-time event. So like if you did a Reiki session with me, maybe you could, but most women are not healing in one Reiki session. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship. So the more that you can explore and find happiness on the daily, more explore and find meaning in the lessons that are unfolding for you, you think the easier it is to move through the things until you are pregnant. And I'm always open to discuss anything in my DMs.
And I think it's great that you have a community where women can get together and support each other through this as well. So I commend you for what you're doing. I really think that it's important. And
thank you. Yeah. I can't believe, I just am so grateful. I still can't believe that I get to do the thing that makes me the happiest. I'm just in every time that someone signs up for a meditation. We also launched, I just came out of a dark night of the soul. So I'm in this rebirthing phase. So I've rebirthed so many things in the past 2 weeks, but we started a full moon fertility Reiki circle that is also free, and that a lot of women get pregnant from just that. They come repeatedly from that. And I just believe that, you know, fertility stuff is so expensive in this country. There shouldn't be so many barriers for healing and so many social economic barriers for fertility access. And this is my part of undoing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that they're not suffering alone, because it can yes. be so disenfranchised, right? Because society doesn't do grief well. But when we're talking about grief of the loss of a baby that hasn't been born, or, you know, that just
has been prayed for and wanted, probably.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone in my world wants them. So it's, there's not a lot of oopses around here. Even if a fertility treatment wasn't successful, we still treat it like a loss, because there's so much that goes into it. So I recommend that honoring them and honoring yourself and opening that connection is going to be life-changing. Because everyone is able to connect to the other side. It's just a matter of using that muscle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and having you as a guide for sure would be helpful. And so thank you so much for this time. I really appreciate you sharing this, all your information, your wisdom on this topic. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was a true honor to share space with you.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks everybody for watching. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us in this episode of the Awaken Your Soul's Journey podcast. We hope that you have found solace, understanding, and inspiration as we explored the information and wisdom that will help you move forward on your own journey. I want to express my deepest gratitude to my special guests, experts, and you, the listener. Thank you for sharing your stories and wisdom. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, please reach out. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. The Awaken Your Soul's Journey community is here to support you. Sign up for my newsletter at www.healingenergy.world or check out the links in the description below. Until we meet again, may you find peace, healing, and transformation on your own unique path. Sending you lots of love. Bye for now.